On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, and joined not this time by Ryan Davey, but instead by a couple of beer experts, Will Woodward and Josh Deering. First off, Woody, how are you?
Doing great. We're not the beer geeks, we're the beer dorks.
Beer dorks. Josh Deering, how are you?
I'm just happy to be back here. It's been a while, Rich.
It's a long time, and the longtime dork fans will know who you guys are. The recent dork fans will have literally no idea. That's just the nature of the business. We've been doing dork. We're like 155, 56 episodes total. This is episode 66 at EEI. Woody, you were probably on 5 or 6 episodes. We did some TV ones.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
We did the baseball, no, the football draft. We did the football player draft.
A classic.
And then JD, we did about 20 TV episodes.
We did a lot of TV episodes. None for The Last Ship, though, which I'm very disappointed.
I know you're really pushing The Last Ship. Is that show still on?
There's one more season.
Okay. So that did not get the axe like a lot of other shows?
They filmed 2 seasons at a time.
What?
So
it's in the can, so they have to do it.
They're like, it's going to be done after this year.
They're like, yeah. Infinity War. All right, so Last Ship, that's good. But we used to talk about Gotham. We used to talk about Walking Dead. It was a lot of bad TV, is what
Josh
and I. The Flash.
Arrow.
I've bailed on, I think, all those shows except for The Walking Dead, which I bailed on. Did you?
Yep.
I don't blame you.
I think we did Gotham season 1. I think I was on
I
suffered through it, and then I think
and
that
I was like,
the
oh,
end
this
of
is
it.
High. Oh, we also did, what was that God? Wayward Pines episode. That's a blast from the past.
Speaking of bad
shows.
That
show stinks.
That show was like one episode seemed intriguing, and then you're like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Because you guys are also, not only beer guys, but I would say you are more TV guys too. What's the best TV show on right now?
Brockmeyer.
Maybe it is Brockmeyer.
That's the best comedy on.
Brockmeyer
definitely
might be the best show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else I'm even watching. I mean, Netflix shows, there are no real season for them, so they kind of come and go, and you can grab a hold. But
I like Billions. I like Westworld.
Kind of a slog at times.
It is. It's a little bit more with those shows that you can kind of like try to predict what's going to happen next, Game of Thrones style.
That's true.
But, you know, there's nothing that, aside from a couple comedies
it's
that really grabs
rough.
Me right now.
All right, so for this episode, we're not going to do the standard This Week in Dork. We already did that in the earlier episode. You can check out R-rated comic book movies with Ryan Davey. So that's where you got Video Game Minute. That's where you got Pick of the Podcast, all that. This is sort of a little detour from normal hashtag Dork episodes. This is going to be the best New England beers. And I'm not even joking when I say these two guys are beer experts. Woody knows everything about beer in New England, and maybe beer in the world, Woody. I feel pretty confident saying that.
Through trial and error.
That's
how you find out about beer. You just
drink
a lot.
Full disclosure, Josh Deering works currently at Idle Hands Brewery, which we will mention several times in the podcast.
But you've hosted podcasts from there before, too.
We had a live show at Idle Hands. So many of you listening were there, and we thank you for going to that. That was a ton of fun. Hopefully we will do that again. And I'll be on right now. If Josh says something good about Idle Hands, it's not because he works there. It's because it's great. Woody and I can even speak for Idle Hands if you want. If that makes it even more or less or easier for you, we can do it that way. So there's a lot of different ways we can do this, a lot of different ways to break it up. We're just stealing an idea from Boston.com. They did their top 10 Massachusetts breweries, and they had their own system for it. I think they looked at like Beer Advocate.
It was mostly through Beer Advocate rankings that they used.
Yeah, so they came up with their top 10, all just in Massachusetts. We all put our heads together. We all ranked them in a top 10. And then based on where we ranked them, like if it was a first place finish, it got 10 points all the way down to 1. So we have our top 10 as voted on by hashtag Dork. But before we do that, some of the honorable mentions. Here were some that did pretty well and that just missed out. And one that I know, JD, you like a lot is Jack's Abbey.
I love Jack's Abbey. I think they're, you know, in Massachusetts goes, they make the defining hoppy lager around. And since they branched off and added Springdale, which I'm including part of Jack's Abbey Springdale,
yep,
they've added on some great IPAs and sours and different things that Jack's Abbey, a lager brand, wasn't doing before. So I think they deserve definitely acknowledgement in this list.
And a decent tap room, too, in Framingham. I've been to that one. I enjoyed Jack's Abbey. And that's one that's there. pretty readily available, too.
Yeah, and I think they got hurt a little bit because some of us voted for Jack's Abbey. Some of us voted for just Springdale. So those two things combined probably hurt them a little bit. But, yeah, delicious.
That's a good one. Castle Island just missed the top 10. I'm a huge Castle Island fan. Their double IPA, the High Def, I like a lot. That's also not super-duper hard to find. They have a variety. They have a few different IPAs, plus other stuff. That's pretty good, but I enjoy the Castle Island stuff. Medusa, was that one of yours, Woody?
That's one of mine.
That was one of yours? Yeah. What, I don't even know Medusa, I don't think.
They're, I believe, in Hudson, Mass. Okay. Great tap room and a great beer list. They don't make a beer that they miss on so far, and they got a really excellent brown ale and pilsner. So I'm into those styles. I like the lesser styles, especially pilsners, lagers, so... Give them a lot of credit.
I've been there a couple times, too. Their tap room's nice. Hudson actually has a bunch of really good like beer bars and stuff like that in right downtown Hudson. So it's a good place to check out, definitely.
Another good brewery is Backlash, who they, to me, have one of the best logos, one of the best symbols. They have the brass knuckle. And like so...
Just to jump in here, yes. You do know that they've changed their logos when they're about to open a brewery in Roxbury, and they have gone ahead and changed their iconic Brass Knuckles logo.
I'm crossing them off the list. I'm taking them right off the list now. I like that because that's what drew me in. Now, when I went to, I've been to a bunch of beer fests, and so have you guys, but there was one years and years ago. It was just a New England beer fest that I went to. And, you ideally want to try something from everybody, but when they had their huge logo, I was like, oh, I got to see what these guys are up to. And I don't know if they were making Ricochet then or not, or they had something then, but it was good. So what the hell is their logo now?
So it's a B, and it has two arrows going forward, one arrow going back. We'll have to pull it up here.
You know what? So they had some at the store, and I was wondering, I'm like, well, maybe that's just for that can?
No,
they rebranded as they get closer to opening their new tap room, which is going to be...
So you guys are down on them.
They should have done some market research with us about the logo.
They were killing it with that logo.
I like Backlash. Yeah. I think Helder's an awesome guy. They make some great beer, but until they establish themselves in a tap room, that's definitely going to help them. That's going to shoot them up the rankings.
Our last honorable mention was Honest Wait. Is that one of yours too, JD?
Absolutely.
Where are these guys?
These guys are in Orange Mass, which is out towards the western end of the state, and another brewery who does a lot of things really well. And they do it in a small space, a little bit hard to get to, but once you're there, it's a great tap room, and their beers are excellent, and they're popping up in the Boston area right now.
All right, there you go. So there's about five honorable mentions there. So now let's get into the top 10. Coming in at number 10 is Aeronaut.
Aeronaut really... Like you were talking about going to a kind of a beer festival and stumbling upon something. Mm-hmm. They had their 2-year anniversary at a beer festival in Boston, I guess it was 2 years ago. And that one I tried and I remember being blown away by it. And they've really started to just come up with more IPAs, more sessions, some really interesting other stuff too that now a lot of what they put out before I wasn't interested and they had a smaller lineup. And now they've really started to find their zone there.
The hopping away, which is good for like the lower alcohol content. And then was it Dr. Nando or the
year
whatever? The year of Dr. Nando is really good. They got cool looking cans. Like that really matters. But like it's good on the eye.
Their artwork's crazy. Their tap room's huge. And their anniversary beers, which is Year with Dr. Nandu, which is kind of their flagship beer. And then they have second year, third year, and now fourth year. And who knows what they're going to do with year five. But they're all very different, all showcase some different hops. It's fantastic stuff.
So that's a good one. Number 9. Now, this one I had not heard of. And it was ranked very highly on your list, Woody. That would be Brick and Feather.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the only one who had this on their list.
Yes.
It's from
confirm.
Northern Mass by the Vermont border. Mm. I've only had it at one place. It's we'll talk about this place a little bit later. It's called Armsby Abbey in Worcester. They have a lineup that always includes Trillium and Hill Farmstead and some really big hitters. And I remember trying these guys alongside some of those other bigger named breweries, and they lived up, if not exceeded, some of those beers. You can only get it at a couple bars right around their brewery and at their brewery. They don't can anything yet, but the stuff they're putting out is unbelievable.
What did you have from them? IPA, I assume?
Yeah, all IPAs, really eclectic names. And like I said, you can go in there and you can get growlers to go as long as they're branded with the brewery because it's Massachusetts and we're weird with beer laws. But it's worth making the trip out there, especially if you're going up into Vermont.
That sounds pretty good. So that's coming in at number 9. Number 8, both of you guys had this a lot higher on your list. I'm not opposed to them. I just happen to have 10 higher than me. But number 8 is Mystic.
Mystic, they've been around for a while in the Boston beer scene. I think it's been about 7 years. And they started off as a brewery that did like saisons, farmhouse ales, and they did them excellently. And in the past 2 or 3 years, they've started branching out into the IPAs. and they're making some really excellent IPAs, and they're going big after the milkshake IPA thing right now.
Oh, wow.
Which, not necessarily my favorite, but the beers they're making are very good.
Is this the Voltage? Is this what they do? Is that Mystic?
Yes.
Is that a Mystic one?
Yep.
Or am I
that's
Mystic?
Their big, more readily available one, and Tired Hands down in outside Philly has really started the milkshake IPA thing, and it's if you don't love IPAs and like something really fruit forward and hazy, the stuff they're doing will make you happy.
Now, was Mystic when Night Shift first started? Was that the one? Did they share a place?
No, that was Idle Hands.
That was you guys.
We shared a wall. Mystic has always been in Chelsea.
Oh, that's right. Mystic's in Chelsea. All right, yes. My bad. So, yeah, because when the old place, the old Night Shift and Idle Hands were just side by side, right?
And I will
then
say
they
this
both moved on to bigger and better places.
I will say this about Mystic, their table beer. If you're looking for like a nice, easy drinking beer, like 4.3%, they do one of the best table beers around, period.
All right.
You can go get that by the liter at that brewery.
I do feel like, and they're one that definitely, like, their stock now compared to what it was even a couple of years ago, I feel like is much higher. Like, it's more people are talking about Mystic now than before.
I feel like most of these beers on our top 10, or most of these breweries, their stock's just going up and up. That, you know, a bunch of these jumped up out of nowhere.
True.
And even the ones that are at the top have risen to the cream of the crop here, especially as a lot of them expand production.
Number 7 is out of Salem. It's Notch, which has a great tap room. And JD, I know you're very high on them.
Notch is my favorite tap room in Massachusetts, and they make some of my favorite beer around. They do all sessionable beers, so under 5%. They really focus on pilsners, lagers, and they do it really traditional style. They got a crazy brew system that not a lot of people have. And it allows them to do some really, really fun things and make beers that nobody else can touch.
Good sours, too. I mean, if you like sours, right?
Yeah, and they make really hoppy, sessionable beers, too. And, you know, they're easily found in stores. They're found in a lot of a lot of bars because of the pilsners everywhere. Left of the Dial, the session IPA is everywhere. In the summertime, Infinite Jest you can find it. And right now they got the Zwickel beer in cans, which is
Zwickel beer.
They do a lot of events too, and will be like the beer host for a bunch of events. Like if you're up in northeastern Massachusetts, they do things at all sorts of because sessionable beers are so good at kind of outdoor events, and it probably if you're having an event, you're much happy having beers that are 4.3% than if they're 8 or 9%.
No, it's definitely true. And if you're going up there, like say you're going in October and you go up to Salem to go check out all the weirdos and all the haunted houses and everything, go to Notch. It, like JD said, it's awesome. Like you walk in there, it's huge. You go up there, they always have a bunch of different things on tap and you can have a few. And honestly, you can still drive home because it's like 4.2% or whatever it is. So you can feel better about doing that than going to some of these other breweries and getting, you know, two double IPAs and you're like, oh, Jesus. Like, maybe I shouldn't drive.
Sean Hill from Hill Farmstead said you want to make beers for the people that are drinking them, and he's like, I'm in Vermont. People are going to have to drive everywhere around here, and I'd rather have people have a couple. It's not just kind of like that. If you want to go someplace and not just have one beer and have a couple, you can do that with Notch beers all day.
So that's a good one coming in at number 7. Number 6, Lamplighter, which they have a couple of my favorite beers right now. I think Rabbit, and I'll get into that even later on, their double IPA is as good as I think that there is in the game right now. They also have Birds of a Feather, which is like their standard IPA. But they have a number of other beers as well. I mean, again, I sort of focus on that. I know, Woody, you do as well. But they have a lot of good stuff, and Lamplighter is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of beers that are readily available, if you live around Massachusetts, it's super readily available at your local craft beer store. You can get all that kind of stuff. And again, they have a variety. A lot of their more popular beers now go into the hazy New England IPA style. But, you know, they've really come a long way just in a short period of time here.
JD, you like Lamplighter?
I do like Lamplighter. They got a wide range of beers that they do really well.
All right, number 5. So now we're getting to our top 5. First, let's recap the top the 10 through 6. Aeronaut, Brick and Feather, Mystic, Notch, and Lamplighter. Number 5, Night Shift. Night Shift from Everett comes in at number 5. And these were one of the guys, again, going back to my first experience at a New England beer fest, they had some pretty crazy beers that jumped out to me. And again, I also like the logo. Maybe I'm more focused on the logo than I should be, but their owl logo is badass. Like if the old Backlash logo was the best one, you can retire it. The owl is pretty badass from Night Shift, but they have all kinds of different stuff. Like I don't even know necessarily what their specialty would be. Maybe it's their line of sours, but they have all kinds of other stuff. They have single IPAs, double IPAs. They have different, like, weird beers as well that they used to kind of experiment with. Really good tap room as well, like a really enjoyable tap room. And their beer is now easier and easier to get than ever before.
Yeah, you know, like good podcasters, we decided to do top 10 Massachusetts breweries. We didn't discuss exactly what we meant by that. So Keith's factoring in logos heavily, apparently.
Yes, I'm big on logos.
I did tap room a little bit. Their tap room is fantastic. It just expanded, so it's even bigger now. And
that's a good point, Woody. We should start the podcast over. What do we mean by top 10 breweries?
Let's redo it.
Let's start over right now. I would say you're right. Tap room should be included. Just the number of good beers, like the highest quality of the best beer.
I tried to factor in variety a little bit, even though I'm not really one to branch out to too much variety. I think having options available.
But that's where they get points, I think, Night Shift. Like, if you go to their brewery right now, you can bring, say you go with a 10 friends.
With your wife, who likes sours.
She loves sours. And so Night Shift, she loves some of those, and they still have the bottles. They started to can the Evervice all of a sudden, which is crazy expensive, by the way. But that's another whole story.
That's your problem, not
ours. She likes the sours. They have a good mix there. I will say my favorite beer by them, they don't even make anymore.
Mm.
And I know that's Viva Habanera.
Yeah, except they did it one last time, and you couldn't even get it.
I know. I was too lazy to go.
Yeah,
they did like a re-releasing, and Woody's like, you going? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not driving up there for that. But it's delicious. Hopefully they make it again. They get mad when you ask them. Every time I'd go to the tap room, I'm like, you guys getting Viva Habanera again? You getting Viva Habanera again? They're like, no, piss off. We're not doing that
You're
anymore.
The only guy that asks us that. And the answer is still no, Rich.
I'm like, I love it so much. But that's honestly what got me hooked on it. I remember hearing that and being like, this is, or tasting it and being like, this beer is so different. And like, I like the spice. And I was like, I remembered Night Shift because of that beer. And then I ended up liking other things. Like the 87, I really like. Most of the one hop this times I like. The Santilli is a good solid beer. Even like Whirlpool I liked. Like, they have a bunch.
Night Shift's a good representation of kind of Boston area beers because they do a lot of things that, you know, have other breweries have started to take on. They do a barrel-aged thing, which is unique. They tweak their recipes. Like, 87 today is different from when it first originally started and it got better.
Yeah.
And they do the kind of experimental rotational series. They have their rotational series called Morph, which...
Right.
It's lost on some people that's not the same every time.
Wait, what? This tastes different. Yeah,
I know. Get out of here.
It's more... Oh, there it is. Got it.
They're like, oh.
Loud and clear.
No,
but... And JD, you could probably speak to this better. They're also really out on the forefront on, like, the distributing thing, aren't they? Like, the guys at Night Shift are, like, really... They care about, like, the rights of brewers and, like, distribution and everything else.
Yeah, they started their own distribution company, which they were sick of the mass rules, so they went out there and started their own company, and they're bringing in great beer from across Massachusetts, across the country, across the world, and they're branching off into other drinks now, to non-alcoholic drinks. So they're really pushing, you know.
Now, do you guys care about this when a brewery gets almost too big? Like, for example, if there's and you guys can make faces if you want, I don't mind Lord Hobo beers. Now, it's not my favorite thing in the world, but, like, if somebody had a Boom Sauce or a Steal This Can or whatever the other ones are, I'll drink it and I'll have a fine time. But it's literally everywhere. Like, my brother-in-law, who also is obsessed with beer, lives in upstate New York. And he's like, oh, yeah, we have that here, too. Like, so it's so easy to get, like, a lot of these things. Does it matter? And we're going to get to a couple that are at the top of our list here that you have to kind of go out of your way to get. Night Shift, to me, is still really good. And, again, I don't like everything that they have, but I like them. But they're literally everywhere. So it's not like, wow, you have Night Shift? It's like, okay, yeah, would you go to the convenience store? Like, of course you have Night Shift. Does that matter to you guys at all?
You know, this is a podcast, so making faces doesn't do anybody any good at all.
I'm predicting that you're going to make a face when I said I don't mind Lord Hobo.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but I think it matters if, as you grow, you can maintain your quality and consistency, and you don't just start to mass produce stuff for the sake of selling the most you can. So it's kind of a double-edged sword a little bit there. And I kind of feel the same way you do about Lord Hobo, that if somebody has it, hey, that's a good beer. I'll drink that. But yeah. I'm never seeking it out. Not that you have to.
No, that's probably true. Like, I haven't bought many of that. Like, if I'm at, like, a bar, and depending on what their list is, like, that might be the best one they have. Then I'll get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if that's the case, then sure. But, like, if I'm going to, like, randomly up the street from me, they know how popular, like, mass craft beers are. So their list is insane. Like, for, like, a small little liquor store, they have a crazy one. Even, like, a place like Wegmans has a pretty good list now where you're like...
Wegmans has always had a good list.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you go there and you're like, well, like, Boom Sauce, for example, might be the 10th best beer they have there. Which is kind of nuts, because again, I don't think it's that bad of a beer. Like, I like it, but my point on Night Shift is, like, the fact that you see it everywhere now, do you like it less or more? Or I guess maybe your point, as long as it's still good quality.
Yeah, and I guess the point for me is more if you're small and it's harder to get. The cool part of that for me is that when I get it, I like to share it with friends, yeah. And it's like, oh, here's something you won't softball have the opportunity
beers.
To try. Softball beers.
Softball
we
beers
do a lot of softball
beers.
Yes. Yeah. But the fact that you have to really work to get it is not an advantage. It's a pain in the ass a lot of the time.
I get angry about those beers.
But it is
like,
fun.
I like a nice happy medium, like one that like maybe not everywhere in the world has. So you're still like, when you see it, you kind of perk up. But it's also, I'm not going to wait in line for it. And I know a lot of people listening to this, if you see, hey, we're talking about New England beers, you've probably done the thing where you've driven 2 hours and then waited in line for 2 hours. Like, that to me is too much, because there's so many good beers that you don't need to do that.
That's just because you know I'll do it for you.
That's also true. Thank you, Woody.
Well, that's the one I would used to do 5 years ago. I would drive up to Vermont. I would drive 2.5, 3 hours, go wait for 2.5, 3 hours, go somewhere else, wait in line for another hour on top of that, and then...
Yeah, right. But, no, that's true.
But, I mean, we're living in a really good time to be in New England
it's
right now, where you
bed.
Can just
because
go down the street.
Before, you were like, yeah, I got to drive out to Vermont, and like, I got to drive out to Portland, or I got to drive out somewhere, and now it's like... I'm going to go down, 10 minutes to Idle Hands or 10 minutes to wherever else, and I'm just going to go hang out there and, get a couple 4-packs and then go home. Like, that, it's so much easier now. And the beer, to me, is almost the exact same quality.
And like, I don't think that's unique to New England, while New England is a hotbed of especially IPAs, if you really like IPAs. But I think it's happening all over the country, too, that your local brewery down the road is producing stuff that is as good as a place that you'd have to drive
hours. No, that's probably true.
Find.
All right, so anyway, getting back to our list of top 10 breweries, number 5 was Night Shift. Number 4, Exhibit A. And they have a couple of beauties. They got the Cat's Meow. And they got the Hair Razor. Again, I sort of focus more on the IPAs, but there are other things as well. But Exhibit A, Framingham, right?
Framingham.
The original Jack's Abbey space.
They took over the same space?
The original Jack's Abbey location is where Exhibit A is now.
How about that? Fun fact about me, both my parents from Framingham. What do you think of that?
Rick Keefe, 2-time fantasy football champion.
That's right. It's been a while.
He's
had a drought. You have to shout him out.
He
does not listen to this.
He doesn't know how to download a podcast.
No, he don't think that's not really for him.
But yeah.
Exhibit A, like, I know you like him too.
And they're another one that distributes really well. So Cat's Meow, Hair Razor, their Kolsch called Goody Two Shoes.
Yep.
You can get those pretty well. And again, they're another one who does a rotational series.
Let me stop you right there. Who likes a Kolsch?
I love a Kolsch.
I like a Kolsch.
All right, never mind.
We'll get into this a little bit later.
I'll show myself out.
Yeah. I love a Kolsch.
All right, my bad.
Light and refreshing.
Do you like the Exhibit A Kolsch?
Their Kolsch is great.
There you go.
Them and Devil's Purse, 2 best Kolsches in Massachusetts.
Well, I feel like a real horse's patoot for saying that.
No, you don't.
No, I feel fine. I feel great, actually, because Woody and JD both brought in beer, so I feel tremendous. So Exhibit A, anything else on Exhibit A, number 4?
No, another brewery that does, they got a great IPA, they got a great porter, and they got a great Kolsch.
Oh, the porter, too, that's right.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, right there, they do 3 things really, really well that are, towards the top of any beer in the state.
If you were starting a brewery, would you say, like, is 2 really good beers or 3 signature beers, what would you go with? Because, again, like, a lot of these they've branched off and they have a million. You can go, hey, give me a sampler of this, give me a sampler of that. But if you can hang your hat on, how many different types of beers do you think?
Like, flagship beers? You want,
like how many would you say, like, these are our beers?
I think that's the idea of a flagship beer is changing, honestly, if you want to get into that. Like, a lot of places are opening now and they'll just rotate through beers and they won't have
one. They don't even have their own thing.
Like, Tired Hands is an example of a place that, for the most part, they keep doing different beers and they don't rebrew the same beer time after time after time, and people are going hours and hours and hours out of the way to get some.
Yeah,
And some, you know, there's so many options available that some brewers go the other way now too, where they just have their three or four options that they brew tirelessly until they start to get them right.
Well, it was funny one time. So my brother-in-law that I already mentioned once on the podcast, shout out to him, also doesn't listen. But I had him go to night shift because my wife and his wife were out doing something. So we went to night shift, and it was like the most random time. They literally only had four beers on tap.
Which at night shift?
Unheard of, right? This was a few years ago.
Before
How
the new spot?
Years ago?
No, it was at the new spot.
Wow.
It was at the new spot, and we went. I was like, hey, let's each get a sampler and like see what we like.
I don't want to call you a liar, but
I swear to God. Hand to God, we go there because I'm telling them, like, I'm like, oh, we can get like there's like a million beers there.
They have 30 draft lines,
and then we're looking at the we're trying to order the sampler. And the bartender was like, well, it's basically just going to be these four. And we're like, oh, well, I'll have that. And I was like, and then the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't know what happened. I go, I swear there was supposed to be more beers here, and it was like the same four beers. But anyway, then I went, like, you know, a few months later with my wife, and it was like 9 different beers or 10 different beers. It was like very bizarre. But anyway, number 4 was Exhibit A. Number 3, Idle Hands. And JD, we're not just blowing smoke. Love Idle Hands. I've had beers from everybody on this list, I guess with the exception of Brick and Feather. I've had beers from everybody on the top honorable mentions. But 4-seam and 6-seam, the Galaxy 4-seam, the little spin on it there, the change-up series, which you guys are now up to 12, I believe.
Yeah, number 12's on right now.
Man.
Awesome. Like, some of my favorite beer. I would put those beers up against anybody else.
Yeah, and again, we talk about you want to go out to a brewery with your family or and you want your wife who likes sours to have something.
Correct.
And your brother-in-law who likes Belgians to have something. Idle Hands can do all that for you. And Keith and I are big IPA guys, and so the 4-seam was really, and really the change-up
like
series,
yeah.
The change-up, I think it was, what? 2 and 4 that...
Yeah, so, 4 was really
good. Who knows?
Good,
maybe
right?
Someone can solve this mystery in the room for us at some point. But those, and between now, you know, 2-seam, if you want a session beer, we were talking about a session beer that tastes like a true IPA that
like
you can drink.
I like the first pitch they have now, which is more the Belgian IPA. First
and
pitch is
2-seam, you know, you're hinting that you might put it in cans eventually. So, you know,
you
I'll
break
keep,
news on
keep
the
an eye out for that. Yeah,
we're looking at it. Probably this summer, there's a good chance, it sounds like, but nothing has been confirmed on that.
So, JD, I mean, obviously you like the brewery, but let me ask you about... When people come in there, like, what sells the most?
It's the 4-seam.
Has to be. Okay.
It's the IPAs. The IPAs, far and away,
and
sell
when
the
you
most.
Guys started, it wasn't really about the IPAs at all.
No, when the brewery started 7 years ago, the Chris, our owner, only brewed Belgian-style beers.
Right.
And then he brought in a head brewer that introduced German-style beers into the rotation, and that was Idle Hands up until the taproom opened 2 years ago. And really when the IPA started being introduced, was when the tap room opened and
the
Mullen.
German beers are good.
Also
too.
A tremendous tap room, by the way. And not just because we hosted a live hashtag Dork, the only ever live hashtag Dork podcast episode ever at Idle Hands.
Sold out,
but
I heard.
It was banged out. It was. JD wasn't there. He was on the honeymoon. It was banged out. There was literally a line for it. So again,
decent
thanks
excuse.
To everybody who showed up. It was awesome. It was full. Everybody was loving the beers. It was awesome. And as Woody said, there's such a variety because not everybody likes IPAs. You know, most of the people listening probably do. That's sort of what that culture, I think the real beer snobs like us are, have sort of become IPA people. But they have everything else. So, like, when I go with my wife all the time, she doesn't get the IPAs. Like,
she goes right for the sours.
She goes for the sours. So the Kill Your Idols, she loves, and they have the tropical one. She likes that one much more than the orange, the blood orange one. She loves the tropical one. But there are other ones, too. Like, you guys have a good table beer. You guys have a good lager. Like, my father loves the Adelaide. Like, loves it. Like, it's funny, because I try to get my... So my dad drinks more beer than anybody I know. Again, shout out to my dad who's not listening. Woody, he drinks... No, he does. He just does. It's a reality. But
he's got a mustache.
He does. He's a grown man. He's short. He's much shorter than me, but he could whoop my ass. There's no doubt.
Old man strength. Definitely.
But he's a guy who, like, I like all these different kind of beers. He drinks, like, just the lagers. You know, like, all his life he's been drinking lagers. And so he's not opposed to the other kind. But I'll be like, hey, try this IPA. He's like, oh, that's fine. It's too hoppy. It's too whatever. But then when you get him some of these, like, good lagers, he loves them. And I can tell the difference because I'll get him a 4-pack of, like, the, like, night shift lager or whatever. And then I'll go home, like, a month later, and there's still two left. You know what I mean? Like, there's still, like, two left. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
No,
and
then, it was fine. It was fine.
No,
thanks,
I liked
Rich.
It. Thanks. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Like, thanks for bringing that. But I get him the four-pack from Night Shift, and I go back, like, a week later, gone. Like, all of it's gone. So, like, at least I know that he really likes that one. And so that's the beauty of it. Like, you go there, it's the opposite of the problem I had at Night Shift. If you want a sampler, what do you guys have usually on how many on draft?
It's usually 10 to 12.
Yeah, it's insane. They have the full list, and then they even have some bonus ones that you can get either in the four-pack, like if you guys don't always have that, or the growler, or whatever you want to do. It's great. Now, is the four-seam always available year-round now? Is that the plan?
Yes.
Okay.
There's
six
some
seam is not year-round.
Six-seam is every
seasonal.
Every 3 months, four times
okay.
a year.
Okay, that's good to know.
Which I like, right?
But gonna mark my calendar.
I believe
it's the last Wednesday in June it comes out. So mark your calendars, right. Whatever.
Don't 26 tell other or 27. Now I can't get as much as I want.
Let's stop the podcast right now.
You can edit that out in post, yes.
I'll put that in the phone right now.
You got somebody that can edit that, Keith?
I do. I do all my own editing. Yeah, it's no problem. It's gone. It's cleaned out. So... But I love that about it, because it's like if you're going to Idle Hands on any given weekend, you're like, I know at the very least I'm getting a four seam. But if you happen to be going on the right time, you could also get a six seam.
The
you know
Galaxy,
I mean?
Like, four seam
also is great.
Yeah. Blows my mind. That's one that if I go there, if I see it in the beer store, I am going to buy that and then
every time.
Anything else that interests
me. What is the plan with the change-up series? Is that just going to continue for infinity?
That's just going to keep going. As we get new hops, new yeast, or, you know, Brett, our head brewer, he wants to try something out. If he's worried about something, like a hop supply being shorter in the future, like,
now
he'll try something out in the change-up series just so he has it in his back pocket in case something happens with four-seam, if something happens with hops, you know, he has...
Was any of the change-ups what the four-seam is?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's a combination. I think it was...
That's right, it's
a combination.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There's a few early on. It took six... change-ups to get to four-seam.
Makes sense, though, but you're tweaking it, and you're sort of doing it, and I would say the change-ups, for me, are better than the morph series. You'll run into a good morph, but the change-up, because that's always one thing I always do when I go to visit Idle Hands, is like, all right, whatever your change-up is, give me a glass of that, let me try that, and for the most part, all great. Like, I remember early on, I remember the three was not my favorite, but two I loved and four I loved. And then after that, I've tried them, and they've been pretty strong since then.
Yeah, to the point where Keith and I were, like, emailing and texting each other, being like, change up number four is really good. You should stop by. You should stop by as soon as you can.
You need to get there before they get rid of that change up. You got to get there. All right, so number three is Idle Hands. And, again, we couldn't recommend that one enough, so check them out in Malden.
89 Commercial Street in Malden.
That's right. Number two on our list, I think everybody knows, again, beer people know where our top two is, but coming in at number two is Trillium, who has a million IPAs, pale ales, double IPAs. They have other stuff. They have porters. They have some other different things. But they are definitely known for their juicy juice bomb IPAs. They have the location right in Boston. And then the other one is in...
Canton.
So yeah. I've not been to the Canton one yet. How's the tap room there?
It's very good. They just opened a patio there. And they're actually building a new Fort Point Boston facility, too, that'll have a restaurant. And a roof deck. So
they also have a spot kind of cornered off on the Rose Kennedy Greenway. Mm-hmm. They have like a little like
beer garden.
Beer garden. Awesome. Amazing. I went again, believe it or not, with my brother-in-law. God damn it. Why do I keep mentioning him? But we went there. It was a nice little family get-together. And so we went there. But Trillium, and the one thing I'll say with Trillium is they have so many different kinds, and they constantly, like, they'll have the Mosaic Conger Street or the Galaxy Conger Street or
double
like the
dry hop.
Double dry. Yeah, exactly. They have like a million different kinds. So I think I know what my favorite ones are from them, but it's very confusing and they're constantly changing them.
Yeah, and they might not have been the very first ones to start this, but they're definitely one of the ones who popularized the double dry hop version of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, a lot of breweries now, even if they don't advertise it distinctly, they double dry hop a lot of beers, and it's to the point where I pour a double dry hop Congress Street into a beer glass, and my mother walks into the room and she thinks I'm drinking orange juice.
Correct.
It's that it's kind of beer.
That's what. So yeah, I've had somebody say, like, when you pour it in a glass, you're like, I don't want to be able to see through it. Like, I want it to be so hazy like that. And that's what almost everything from Trillium is like.
And to each your own, I mean, I like those beers too. A lot of people are doing those beers, but that's part of why the only way to figure out what you like is try a bunch. Because what we like is going to be different than whoever listening here is like. And maybe you don't even like IPAs, but, you know, that has certainly become super popular and kind of the singular New England style. And I think Trillium's definitely a big part of that.
And so the thing, when you go into the Boston location, when you walk in there, you're basically walking in and you can't try them there. You got to ask for your case. You got to ask for your four pack or whatever it is and get out of there. And this is a classic one that you basically go down, you double park, you leave your car running, and you sprint in and you get whatever you can, and then you sprint out of there. Again, not if you're going to Canton, great, spend the day in Canton. But if you're going to the one in Boston, that's how I've done it. And this is also the first time I think ever that I bought a case of beer. And I spent over $100, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But I'm like, you know what? It's delicious, and I love it. You can't do it all the time, but it's expensive, but, like, you know where your money's going. Like, it's that good.
It's also the first brewery that I remember following them on social media and them announcing a beer on a particular day, and I can't remember exactly which one it was. I think it might have even been a collaboration, Pow Pow from Lawton's or something like that, where I remember being like, okay, I know what I'm doing at lunch. I'm immediately leaving my office. I'm driving over there. I'm going to double park in front. I'm going to go in. I'm going to get whatever beer
on, sprint in
they
there.
Will give me, and then I will go back to work and live out my life. And I haven't, you know, I hadn't really done that at any brewery at that point, but
it's good. I mean, they're juice bombs. Like,
they're juice bombs.
You got to like
the
juice bomb.
And, you know, I loved going down there when it first opened. It was like, I got beer nerds across the country that I would trade beers with. And, you know, as soon as, like, Trillium.
I remember you, like, mailing beers out.
Yeah, and as soon as, like, Trillium came onto the scene, everybody was like, you need to get me Trillium. You need to get me Trillium. It was, like, amazing how quick their rise was and how good the quality of the beer was to go with it that they kind of, I want to say pioneered the style, but they became quickly one of the most well-known brewers of the style.
Now, I know you can get Trillium at some restaurants. Like, they are willing to go to some. I've been to one. I was shocked when I saw it on the menu. It was a place that I never in a million years thought would have had the beer list that it did. And I got Trillium on draft, and I told all my friends that were there, I'm like, this is what you're getting. Like, you have to get this. Like, I can't believe it's here. And they're like, calm down. But anyway, I loved it. Do you think they're ever going to be, like, in stores? Or do you think they like what they're doing?
They're limited amount in stores right
now. Are
they?
Yeah.
Like, they've been getting around,
them in stores.
And they used
to. Are they at, like, craft beer sellers or something?
Yeah.
Oh, they are? Okay.
But it depends on kind of their sell-through of what they do.
Okay.
And the beer. So they have some of their flagships like Fort Point or Congress Street or some of those that you may get there. But beer trading, like, I remember sending my buddy in California some Trillium, and he was like, these are solid gold. I could trade 100 beers for one can of this. And then I remember him looking in his fridge one day, and he had less than he remembered, and he looks over at his father-in-law, and he had been drinking them thinking they were Miller Lights, and he's like, these Miller Lights don't taste right.
These are gross.
So he's not married anymore. He murdered that father.
Yeah, well, he had to. At that point, there was nothing else to do. But I am a huge fan. In fact, I am the only person out of the three of us that voted Trillium number one. Our real number one, both of you guys put number one. I put it at number two, and I think most people would have it at number one. That would be Treehouse.
There's not a shock there.
No, Treehouse is insane. We're not gonna wow you with, like, this off the board. Sam Adams is number one. We're going with Harpoon. No, it's Treehouse. Treehouse is ridiculous. Now, one of the things that and this is unfair, I would admit, that I sort of held against Treehouse is just how out of the way you have to go to get it. And kind of the more pain in the ass factor. Not that Trillium is the easiest thing in the world, but if you live near Boston, and for a while I did, it was a lot easier to get than Treehouse. Like, Treehouse, you got to go out to Worcester, and you got to wait in line, and you also don't necessarily know what you're going to get.
It's gotten better. They moved into a new brewery probably about a year ago at this point there. And I remember driving to Treehouse the first time, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It was a winter night, And I remember turning off the highway onto a paved road and then turning onto an unlit road. And my wife turns to me and goes, tell me now if you're going to murder me because I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. And then we don't see another car the rest of the 15 minutes we drive, and we pull into the parking lot at Treehouse. It's packed with cars, and we turn the corner, and it's just lit with people drinking out in the open.
Unreal.
And it's gotten better. And the other reason that now Treehouse is much, it's worth making the trip is because you used to be able to get like half a case a person and you would be happy with it. But now you can get more than you can afford to get in one trip because their production has just expanded so dramatically.
Yeah. And they're a brewery that I have not had a bad beer from Treehouse.
No.
Yeah. Across styles. You can name the style that they've brewed out of there. And, of course, they're well-known for their IPAs, but their stouts and porters and their brown ale that they do. They just did a Pilsner. You know, everything that they have done has been excellent.
All my favorite stouts are basically their stouts and a couple others that they continue to blow me away with everything they
do.
But
I think that's why, and like you said, Woody, like this isn't necessarily unique to Massachusetts, but it's why you can hold Massachusetts up to any other state when you're like, well, we have Treehouse, Trillium, Idle Hands, Exhibit A, Night Shift. Like we have these here in our own state, so I don't care what you're bringing to the table. We feel like we can compete with you.
Yeah, that's let alone, you know, New England's a small collection of states, so that's not even factoring in the ones that are a shorter drive than going out to some of the Western Mass or Northern Mass breweries.
Absolutely.
We've been talking about.
So let's get to those as well. So real quick, 10 through 1 again was Aeronaut, Brick and Feather, Mystic, Notch, Lamplighter, Night Shift, Exhibit A, Idle Hands, Trillium, and Treehouse. As for the other breweries in New England, again, I feel like, and I could be wrong here, Vermont and Maine really highlight the list. Maybe New Hampshire. Maybe, I think, in my personal opinion, Rhode Island and Connecticut are kind of lagging behind. But what other ones would you say deserve to be mentioned here?
Either I mean, one. The obvious ones are in Vermont.
Yeah,
Vermont Alchemist, sure. Hill Farmstead, or Lawton's, Fiddlehead. Those are the ones that a lot of people know. Foam Brewers, which is right in Burlington, is less well known than those, but is also phenomenal. But Vermont,
I would say at this point, Foam is the hottest brewery in New England. Like that's they're skyrocketing in popularity right now, and that's being mentioned in the conversation that he just had with all those great breweries.
They have an awesome, location too. And so last year I took a trip with my wife to Burlington, and we ended up hitting up on the way in Burlington Beer Company, which I would say deserves to be mentioned. Really good. They have what's it called? Something Keeping Up with the Wizard or whatever it is.
Wizard IPA.
They have Beekeeper, which was really good. They also have my wife's favorite beer she's ever had. It's called Strawberry Whale Cake. It's actually a cream ale. I know.
That sounds like a made-up name.
I go, those are your three favorite things, aren't they?
Got to get those whales,
strawberries,
bro.
Whales, and cake.
That's why you're married.
But it's like a cream ale, and so she it's not as strawberry as you think, but there's like a hint of it. Anyway, it's really good. So Burlington Beer Company. Then we also went to Foam right in Burlington, so a great location, great beers there. And then we took the journey up to Hill Farmstead, which is one of the best probably
speaking
in the country.
Speaking of places, my wife thought I was taking her to murder her.
That's like that's
you go off into the dirt road there,
not
and
only on
it
a dirt
gets
road,
wild.
But all of a sudden your phone, you lose your GPS because you're in the middle of nowhere, and there's nobody a mile in front of you, there's nobody a mile behind you, and then you get to the brewery, and it's banged out.
You print out MapQuest directions like 2001.
It's insane. So those are Vermont. And then you mentioned Alchemist, right? And a couple of the other ones. And
Alchemist, another brewery that's expanded production dramatically. Yeah. You know, Hetty Topper was kind of
one of the OGs.
The IPA that started it all, kind of.
That was the beer to get for a while, wasn't it? Hetty Topper.
It was still great.
That was the beer. No, it is. I think it's still great. But that's like when I first got into beer, and JD, we were working together at the time. Like when I first really was like, man, I've had too many like Keystone Ices for my day. Like I'm ready to go to IPAs. I remember it was either you or it was like Feldman got me a Hetty Topper, and I was like, oh, the game has been changed. This is what I like now.
I made a number of trips up to that original location before they had case limits or before you had to go to a store before they shut it down.
That was awesome.
And I'd bring that back. I had Feldman make a few runs for me because he used to produce those hockey games up there.
Right. Yeah. Go,
yeah, so for, he'd smuggle back Hetty Topper, yeah.
With Hetty Topper, yeah. And so that was as good as it gets. Woody, I know you've taken a bunch of trips up to Maine for some of their good ones.
I spent all my summers in Maine growing up, and their beer scene is fantastic also, especially in kind of greater Portland there. Bissell Brothers is easily my favorite Maine brewery. Swish, Nothing Gold, Substance, Reciprocal. Their IPAs are fantastic. They also do some extraordinarily low ABV beers, too. Maine Beer Company Dinner is kind of one of the golden gooses of beers.
Say, can I say this real quick?
You can say whatever you want. This is your podcast.
It is my podcast. I am the man. I have the podcast.
You can turn off our mics if you want.
I'm not going to do that.
Lunch? I'm not trying to do that.
Lunch? A little overrated. I said it. I'll wait for the heat.
I like Moe better than Lunch, I think.
Ooh, I think Moe's better. I think Peeper's better. I think another one is better. I think they have three or four. I've never had dinner. I'll be honest. I've never had dinner. But I think Lunch is good. Like, actually, there's a restaurant near me that has it. And I was like, you guys have this? And I had it, and I like it. It's fine. But I think it's a little overstated. I was sold a bill of goods, I think, when they were like, oh, you got to try that.
Send your hate mail to Rich Keefe at WEEI.
Yeah, dot org.
Whatever.
What do you guys think about Lunch? Am I wrong on that?
Like I said, I think Dinner's fantastic. I really like Moe. And then
answer
I'd probably
the
go lunch.
Question
it's,
on lunch.
It's solid, but it's not. It's not one of those beers.
For example,
I seek
like we're talking about OG IPAs, Hetty Topper better. Even, you're drinking a sip of Sunshine right now. Better than Lunch.
Oh, way better than Lunch. Yeah.
What do you think? Or JD?
So I still love Lunch. I think now that palates have changed, people expect a certain thing out of New England IPAs.
That's definitely
and
true.
They
That's what
see
it is.
Maine IPA, they see Lunch, and they expect it to be like
That's a great
the
point.
Hazy juice bomb of an IPA. And
it's
it isn't that.
Different. That's
it's
a good
different.
Point.
And I think it's a great beer, and I think, you know, let people sleep on it. I'll drink it.
I'll take it. Hello. Yeah.
And just to touch on a couple other Maine breweries real quickly that I have at least are all right next to each other, so visit them all at the same time. Foundation, Epiphany they put out is fantastic. Austin Street. And Allagash is kind of the brewery that has been around forever, but they're still doing a ton of amazing stuff.
I mean, don't sleep on Allagash, my favorite brewery in the country.
Is it really?
Hot take.
Whoa.
I will.
The studio just got hot.
I'll tell you right now, Allagash White, you can go to any bar in the world. If they're serving Allagash White, I will take one and I will enjoy the hell
there
out of it.
There is no better flagship of any brewery than Allagash White.
Oh, I like that. JD came in with takes.
That's
no,
good.
What are you
going
to say
good.
To that? I'm like, okay, I agree. I love an Allagash White.
You want to respect a brewery? They haven't changed what they've done since they've opened, really. They've added on to the Sour
amazing.
Games.
Especially with, look, think about all the ones that Woody just named that are all popping up next to them. They're like, well, this is what we do.
Literally directly it. Into like the same complex, and they're like, "Yeah, we know what we're doing. Well, just you know, you do you."
Big news out of them: they added a canning line, and they're gonna like
that's
toy
good.
Around with canning, and
Watch
that's
out.
You know,
that's really
did I
good.
Miss any main breweries
oh,
there in terms of
Oxbow?
Oxbow,
Oxbow,
yeah.
Love Oxbow. You did say Austin Street. Austin Street is one of my favorites. Oxbow is my favorite tap room up in Portland.
Is it really?
Yes.
Huh? I've not been to Bissell Brothers yet. I need to get there.
They got a good. Good tap room too.
I was hoping to do a Portland trip sometime this summer.
You gotta go to Portland.
I gotta do it. Yeah, I haven't been since I was like before beer drinking.
As far as food and beer scene go,
I gotta go. Yeah.
As far as food and beer drinking go, it's the best scene.
I gotta go
around.
Yeah, food unbelievable.
I got the only one I would throw out there for New Hampshire, and honestly, I think so many breweries have passed them by, but I still have a warm spot in my heart for Smutty Nose, only because. One of the first tap rooms that I went and visited. I've actually been to both of them because they've moved. And I like them. I like some of their beers, but there are just so many better ones now. But yeah. New Hampshire, I got to.
It sounds like you're from New Hampshire.
I might be.
There's
not born there, but I grew up.
I got
there.
Married in New Hampshire and
yes,
one in Portsmouth, not far
Red
from
Hook.
Our Reading venue. No.
Budweiser.
Great Rhythm is right outside
Great Rhythm.
Portsmouth. Great Rhythm. A lot of IPAs.
Yeah.
Tap room that won awards for like design. It's a lot of fun. They usually have 8 things on draft. They can stuff only available at the brewery, but it's really good. And if you're up in that part of New Hampshire, it's definitely worth the trip.
Rhode Island or Connecticut? Anything? What am I missing?
Rhode Island's Providence is starting to have a good beer scene. I mean, mainly what I would say if you're in Providence, there's Long Live Brew Works, and right down the street from that is this great beer hall that is called Bayberry. And I highly recommend if you're in Providence, go to Bayberry. That place has incredible food. The tap list is stellar.
right.
So. In the spirit of the Hill Farmstead and Treehouse, Tilted Barn, which is a literal barn on a farm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They do some of their own hops, too. And Proclamation, which just moved to a new brewery. Those in Rhode Island are both very good, especially as the IPAs go.
All right. So that's pretty much all the New England. Again, it's
one
really...
more in Connecticut. Fox Farm, brand new. Okay. Alta, Burst, Daylily, their IPAs, they're a new brewery. I think Beer Advocate just named them one of the best new breweries in the country, but their stuff is unbelievable, too. I really like them. They're available if you're here in the greater Boston area. I know some of the bars around here are starting to get them on draft, too.
If we did a top 10, and we're not going to do this right now, but if we did a top 10 New England breweries, how many of the Massachusetts ones do you think would make it in? So, again, if that's the Massachusetts list... Trillium and Treehouse are definitely in. Idle Hands, to me, is definitely in. Exhibit A is definitely in. But then Night Shift and Lamplighter, that might be the line where you start to introduce all the Vermont and Maine ones, right? It might be like Five Mass.
Foam, Hill Farmstead, Bissell Brothers definitely have to be in there for me.
Yeah, right. So you're probably
Allagash. I would probably say probably has to be in there somewhere too. So,
but so in New England ranking, half of it roughly would be Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. So here's the other.
Like it would be nothing in Connecticut. Maybe nothing.
I don't think so. Yeah,
it's like maybe crazy. 9 out of 10 would be Vermont, Massachusetts, Maine.
Yeah, that's about right.
For sure. All right, this is a fun one. So when you go to a place like Wegmans or if you go to some of these other stores that have all these different beers, they allow you to make your own six-pack. So the question we have posed now to everybody in here, if every single beer was available, and let's say it was in a beautiful 16-ounce can with the logo, which as we know is very important, if they were all available to you and you got to fill up your six-pack, what would be in it? Let's start with JD.
All right. Well, you guys all know my love for Allagash now. Yes, I will always go with an Allagash White.
It's just six Allagash beers?
You got six Allagash White.
I'll just go Allagash White. Just load it up.
I'll take six Allagash Whites.
I get that in the Sunoco.
An Allagash White, Allagash Black, a Cool Ship Red. No.
But a nice Allagash.
And
like
none
that.
Of the Idle Hands beers, which is strange.
Well, I got to, be partial here, you know?
That's true. You're very partial. So you're going Allagash White?
Allagash White. Nice. Top of my list. That's
great. It's a great beer.
Okay. Like I said, I love Allagash.
I've heard that.
Yes. Russian River Consecration. Going to go a little sour.
Okay. Nice.
I like any of their sours. I mean, you could go with their IPAs. You could go Pliny Elder, Younger. You could go Blind Pig, which I think is better than the Elder. But I go with the Consecration. Next, again, I'm going to go with my local love, Notch. Their Zwickle beer was the best beer I had in the can last year in this area. It is a wonderfully refreshing beer, has a little bit of spice to it, just something you can drink all day out in the summer. Lawnmower beer, watching football,
that's nice.
Barbecue,
yep.
Just great beer. I know this one may show up elsewhere, Treehouse Good Morning, if I'm going to go with a darker beer. I love the maple, I love that kind of coffee flavor to it. I'll go with Hill Farmstead Abner.
Yes.
Also on my list.
Yes. Amazing beer.
And then to round it out, I'd like to go with a Pilsner of some sort. So I'll go with Pilsner Urquell.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Pretty good. Woody, would you like to go next?
Sure. And I'll preface this by saying I'm only listing beers that I've tried because there's a lot of good beers.
Yeah,
like if you talk about, Treehouse, there's King Julius and, things like that. Beers I've never had the opportunity to try before. And so I'm not going to put a beer that I've never had on my ultimate six pack. So I got Very Green from Treehouse. Green is my favorite of their standard rotational beers. Very Green is even better than that. Headroom from Trillium. It annoys me they only put it out once a year, but it makes me want it more. JD just mentioned this, but Pliny the Younger is my favorite of the Pliny beers from Russian River all the way across the country. Dinner from Maine Beer. I love it. It's not New England hazy style, but I actually like those a little better. Keith actually just drank one of these so fast he probably didn't even taste it, but Double Dry Hop, Double Mosaic Dream is from Other Half in New York City.
That's
one of my favorite.
I did enjoy
it. And then I'm going to repeat one here, but Abner from Hill Farmstead. There's a bunch of Hill Farmstead beers that could be on here for me that I like all about the same, but I think Abner is my favorite of those ones.
So it's unanimous. So for my ultimate six pack, the first one on there is the Abner. And it's crazy.
How about that?
It's nuts. Yes, I
we did
love
not
it.
Talk about this before.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't at all. And it's funny. So when I was on that same Burlington trip, one of the restaurants that we just happened to go in there, have a beer, maybe even have like a bite to eat, we went in there and they had that on tap. And we knew the next day we were going to go to Hill Farmstead. But I was like, let me try this Abner. So I got a glass of Abner. I was like, this is amazing. And then we went out there and I filled up my biggest growler with Abner. Abner's probably my favorite beer I've ever had. So I'm going to go with Abner as one of them. I'm not kissing up because he's here, but I'm going to go with the Six Seam from Idle Hands as one of mine as well. I'm going to go with the Julius from Treehouse. Again, I haven't had everything from Treehouse, like what he said, like King Julius or whatever, but just the standard Julius, I'm going with that. I'm going to go, I have to do something from Trillium. The Cutting Tiles, it was like a double IPA that they had. I'm going to go with that. Like whatever that was. Like something from Trillium. I'm going with that. I'm going to go with, they don't currently make it, but the Viva Habanera from Night Shift. I'm going to make them make it again, and I'm going to go with the Habanera, which is it's just an amazing beer.
Can everybody tweet at Night Shift and ask that they brew that again?
You know what? Call it the Rich Keef from now on, because I'm the only one who likes it. The only one
you
who
like long
it.
Hashtags. I you can create a hashtag
That's
for that.
That's a good point. I could do that. And then I'm going to go, if they're all in the store, I know it's old school. I'm going with the Heady Topper. I'm gonna take it. If it's in there, I'm taking it as part of my ultimate six pack. I love it. All right, so those are all of our six packs. Again, mine is very dominated. Five out of the six are IPAs or double IPAs. What are some of the best non-IPAs in New England? Again, JD, you had a handful of them in your ultimate six pack.
Yeah, I had Allagash White is the staple for a Belgian wit. That is the best that's made in this country.
Really hard to beat, yeah.
Really hard to beat. A lot of people try to make that style as good as that. Nobody can.
No, true.
I like the lagers a lot. You know, like I mentioned, in Kolsch, not a lager, but I mentioned Exhibit A makes an excellent Kolsch, and so does Devil's Purse out of Cape Cod. That Kolsch on a hot summer day, it just goes down so smooth. It is delicious. You know, Idle Hands, come out see
you
us.
You guys got a whole lagers bunch to choose from it, seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a Helles Lager coming out tomorrow in cans, which, you know, that's a beautiful summer beer. So,
Woody?
Yeah, Goody Two Shoes, I agree. Kolsch, that's a softball beer I'll bring because I can drink it quick. I know JD mentioned Good Morning. I've never been able to get that one, but Double Shot from Treehouse is good, and Canadian Breakfast Stout and Kentucky Breakfast Stout from Founders are both really good. Trillium makes a bunch of good pale ales. I don't know if that counts as different.
They make them just about as IPA as pale ale can be.
I love them.
And down the road, not far from Idle Hands, not far from Night Shift, make some really good sours, some wheat beers that I like and that people I know really like those, drink those a lot. And so if you want to do like a local little brewery crawl, you should go out to that area and go to Idle Hands, go to Night Shift, and go to Down the Road and just make a day of it.
And Bone Up is right there.
Bone Up. Yeah, that's where you want to go. And then Hill Farmstead, if you're
Winter
into
Hill Brewery's not far. Yeah. There's a whole bunch.
There's a bunch right there you could almost walk from. And then Hill Farmstead Wild Ales, if you're doing kind of those type of beers, they're the ones who I think make the best of those that I really like if you like some farmhouse funk.
I already mentioned Viva Habanero, which they don't even make, but you never know. I mean, they already brought it back once, so they could bring it back again. The Strawberry Whale Cake that my wife loves a lot. The sours that are really good. Night Shift has a whole series of them, so you can just tell whatever you like, whether it's the Evervice or
The Manor Vice.
Cape Codder Vice. There's one.
Look for the vices. Yeah,
There's all kinds of shit that they have. And then same with Idle Hands. The Kill Your Idols, I would say particularly the tropical one, I think is really good.
Agreed.
All right, what about the best beers that aren't that hard to find in stores? So let's say you can't get out to the craft beer cellar, or you can't get out to one of these places that really specializes in it. What are ones that you think are available for people to get?
I mean, we've talked about a lot of these that are easier to find now. Ones I mentioned that we haven't really talked about are, I like Jigsaw Jazz from Fort Hill a lot.
Oh.
It is a 9% beer that drinks like a 5% beer.
Boy,
and it's delicious. And it's also, you can get a six pack of 12-ounce cans for like $10. It's It's not priced up like a lot of the beers on here. And like we said, Springdale is starting to be more widely distributed now. There's a lot of good beers from them. 87 from Night Shift, again. That's one that I really like.
I think the one hop series, too. You see that in a lot of places. In the one hop, me personally, I like the Citra a lot. I like the Mosaic a lot. The Ella was not my favorite. What am I drinking right now? They got a couple other ones that are like, okay. I would highlight Citra and Mosaic.
In going outside of the region to a flyover state that I've never been to, Pseudo Sue from Toppling Goliath is around a lot now. They have a big distribution around here. And that's a pale ale that I just love. And that's around a lot, and I'll drink that all day.
I think if you're looking for readily available beers in Massachusetts, Jack's Abbey. Yes. You can find them
that's true too. That's
everywhere.
And Allagash White.
And Allagash White. That's a good point. Allagash White, the Hoponius Union. Oh, there's a whole bunch
of Jack's Abbey, the house lager for the price point that it's at, is a great beer. And same with Hoponius Union. And a lot of specialty beers are everywhere. Castle Island, I feel like you're seeing pretty much everywhere.
There are a lot of places now, which I like.
Speaking of Wegmans distribution.
And
Wegmans, they have them,
And Notch. See them in every store. Either it's usually the Pilsner or Left of the Dial, but both are awesome beers. And if you happen to see it, Infinite Jest is their wheat beer that they do in the summertime. That is perfect for floating on a lake, let me tell you.
Oh, yes.
Love lake floating.
You know what is sneaky available in a lot of spots now is Sip of Sunshine, which I really like from Lawson's. But Wegmans was the last time I got it. They had like a whole row of them banged out. I was like, wait a minute.
They're brewing a bunch of that in Connecticut right now.
Yeah.
A lot of places are brewing.
Out of Two Roads, I think, was who used to brew all of it for them. I'm not sure if that's still the case,
And I like it. It's not in my top five, but I enjoy it more than most. So
and if you're even from out of the region, I know in New York State, Rochester, Buffalo, they're starting to get it too. So
yeah.
Check it out.
All right, what about, and Woody, you mentioned a couple of these already, but bars and restaurants that aren't that far out of the way from here that have a sneaky, really good beer list.
The ones, the Armsby Abbey in Worcester is, in my opinion, the single best beer bar in
Worcester. They're the one that's notorious for it because they have the ones that you literally have to drive down these dirt roads to find. They have
the connection to Hill Farmstead.
Correct.
They have the connection to Hill Farmstead. Yeah. They have lambic beers. They have every kind of beer you could want.
That's it.
And they also own another bar called Dive Bar that's in Worcester, too. Here in Greater Boston, Public House is the classic one in Brookline. Right near, not far from where we are now, is Lulu's that has a ever-expanding beer list, and they're starting to get some new things like Fox Farm from Connecticut and things like that. And I really like, if you're getting food and beer, Brewer's Fork in Charleston has fantastic beers and great pizza. I'd go there all day.
JD?
I echo Armsby Abbey.
Yeah,
Public House is my favorite bar in Boston.
Oh, okay.
Anytime I get the chance to go there, spend a Saturday or Sunday eating mac and cheese, drinking Trillium. It's hard to beat that.
It's both Armsby Abbey and Public House feel like dive bars too. It makes you feel right at home.
They're just warm and cozy, and it's a wonderful place. And the food is equally lives up to the beer at both those spots. I think. You know, if you're downtown and you're looking for a place that is never busy but has a great beer list, Ginger Man. Huh? Never busy.
Woo.
I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know what their problem is, but they have.
You can walk in there anytime. Great draft list.
That's pretty good.
Almost nobody there.
Good.
And local shout out to my neighborhood bar.
Please.
Maverick Marketplace in East Boston.
Good.
They have a sneaky good tap list every time. They only have six drafts, but they're adding more soon, and they have cask every Thursday. That's delicious. So,
nice. And up closer to Keith and I, there's a Grill Next Door in Haverhill has a fantastic beer list.
I'm going to go with, and this is definitely a plug for my wife's restaurant. She works at Urban Hearth.
Her can list is insane.
Yes.
She sent it to me last week, but she was asking a few opinions on sour beers.
It's crazy. And so it does change a little bit based on what's available. But right now, so she works at Urban Hearth in Cambridge. So it's it's not far from Davis. It's close to Alewife, but it's on Mass Ave in Cambridge. So Urban Hearth is the place. You go in. It's a nice kind of cafe. You can get a brunch or whatever. They do dinner service four nights a week. But you can get beer anytime it's open. You go in there, you get yourself a beer. And I'm going to forget some, but they literally have 6-seam and 4-seam, well, at least when 6-seam's available, both from Idle Hands. They're about to get Rabbit from Lamplighter. They have the Cat's Meow from
Inside Knowledge.
Exhibit A. Oh, I have plenty of Inside Knowledge. They have Lunch right now from Main Beer Company.
Which Keith hates.
No, they have Allagash White. They have like all of our favorite beers there. So that we should have recorded the goddamn episode from Urban Hearth.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Should we know stop she's it your wife, there? Right? It's, yeah, let's go there.
Let's go right now.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me that, you know, if you like one of those days where you can like bar crawl, go to Cambridge. You can go to Mead Hall, Cambridge Brewing Company, Lamplighter,
yeah.
and Lord Hobo, the bar.
That's right.
And you can walk between all four.
And you can take a quick Uber to Urban Hearth.
Yeah,
and you can whatever you want.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And go to Mead Hall around any kind it's of insane. German festival time, and you will get
they also
huge
have,
pours of German beer.
They have another crazy beer. What is it called? It begins with like a D. It's like a super long name. You know which one I'm talking about? It's got like
you
a black
give me
can.
Way more information.
It's a double IPA.
That. From
it's,
where?
I wouldn't even know. It's a Massachusetts beer. I would. Don't worry about it.
It begins with a D, and yeah. it's a long yeah. name.
Yeah,
everyone, right. go out and get the beer.
Tweet us right now. Let us know what it is. But no, but honestly, like it's not just that she works there, and it's funny. So the owner of the restaurant, she also really likes beer, and she's like, "Well, I just want to have beers that I like that are here." And this was the best part. She knows that I love beer, so she got like a bunch of sample beers, and she sent them all to me, and she was like. Give me notes and let me know which one you want. And so there, one I'm like, it was like Cat's Meow, it was Rabbit. I'm like, this one's great. I'm like, I love this one too. This one also you need to have at your place.
Yeah,
and they got most of them. It's amazing.
If you're out there and you need our opinion on beers, you can mail any beers to Rich Keefe at WEEI at
dot
20 Guest Street, well, whatever. Here.
Yes, Brent send us
Mass,
beers.
02138?
We need a beer sponsor. So Wolf. Idle Hands used to be a beer sponsor of Hashtag Dork.
Yeah, and then you had to move.
You know what? They're officially back on as sponsor. Idle Hands is sponsoring the podcast again.
So if you Breaking want news. To sponsor Hashtag Dork, they're just giving it away.
good news is this. We have. So I'm sorry, JD. Did you say breaking news?
Spoilers! Spoilers!
Nope, that's not going to help.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Nope. Here we go. Now we're talking.
Now, a Hashtag Dork News Flash.
This just into the news desk. Idle Hands officially back on as sponsor to Hashtag Dork. Thank you, Goo. You can cool it with that. Cool it. All right, thank you.
Does that mean we get free Idle Hands beer?
Ish.
That's enough.
Yeah, ish. Hopefully we'll have another live broadcast there. But so that's pretty much it. Those are the best breweries. Those are the best beers. Please email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite beers are. Dork Podcast on the Twitter or at Dork Podcast. If you want to hook up with these guys, Woody, where can they follow you on Twitter?
I'm at I Will Wood You. Will.
One more time.
W-O-O-D-U. Y-O-U.
I will wood you.
Yeah, you will wood me.
I would.
You would.
W-O-O-D.
W-O. Will wood.
I got it. That's
Do
your
you?
That's your Twitter handle?
I don't know. I can't figure out how to change
JD, it. You're on Twitter still.
@J_deer. I'm thrown off here
God
now.
Damn it.
@J_deer.
@J_deer. Deer as in the animal, not deer as Dear John.
That is correct.
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 That was a pretty good episode, I think.
Lock it up.
Do you have anything else to add about the beers?
No, we need to drink more and watch the Celtics.
Yes, Celtics are
Go
playing
Celtics.
Soon, so we are on our way to the Celtics. So thanks so much for listening to this.
Not
Let us know if you like the beer episode. It doesn't really matter. I'll be able to see how many people downloaded it. It seems like a good idea. Maybe it's not a good idea, but that's kind of what we're doing now.
Ending on a strong note.
Yeah, that's it. Did you guys like beers?
So do we.
We like beers as well. Hashtag Dork. We talked about beers for over an hour. Still recording. Still recording.
Somehow not drunk.
Still recording. No, I feel fine. And we're done. We're done now.
Now?
Not yet.
Okay.
What?
Hold on. Wait for it. Guys, thanks for listening to Hashtag Dork. All right. Take it sleazy.
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Cha-cha.
Take it sleazy.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.